With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And for the next 90 minutes or so, we'll be talking the week's Star Wars news and taking your Skypes and phone calls with whatever you'd like to chat about in that marvelous world, the little galaxy. You know when it was. It was ages ago. Or so I've read. Now, our co-host today is a great pal of mine. I share the desk with him once in a while on Making Star Wars is Now. This is podcasting. And he is a rogue rebel. Welcome back to the show, Sal Perales. What's going on, my man?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. Now, I should point out, if you are listening live, we've got the chat room going on Blog Talk Radio, and there's a few crew in there. King Tom's in there, as normal. Normally loads up as the show gets going. And if you want to get on hold to chat, and there's so much to talk about. We've got the premiere double episode of Star Wars Rebels, that untitled Han Solo film is just that little bit less untitled. That it was titled all along. We just didn't know it, you guys. And there's a ton of, there's always so much stuff. And you never know what it's going to be next week, Sal. I've noticed, and I've been a bit engaged on this on Twitter. There's the hashtag of the day is hashtag SWRepMatters, where passionate fans are putting forward their case for diversity of all types in the Star Wars universe. Now, Sal, I have noticed in my dealings with you, and I've had a few dealings, that you like to dress up a little bit, get into character of some of these people that we read and watch in the Star Wars universe. Now, explain to me, like, a character getting introduced like Kanan Jarrus. As a fan, you know, how did that affect you?
If you want, I'll give you the real story. This is pretty crazy.
Don't bring me any not real stories. This is the real talk here.
No fake news for you.
This isn't fake news dribble you record down in Costa Mesa, buddy.
I'm going to hit you with some facts right now. I've been doing Quinlan Vos for a while, which is like another one of my favorite characters. Also, you know, it's just one of these days you open up a comic book and you're like, there's a guy that looks like me, except like ridiculously buff, but you know, I can imagine. You know, it's a comic book. Everybody looks like that, right?
So it's like when Homer Simpson looks in the mirror and his muscles start dancing.
Exactly like that. Laura, he's like, hello, Mr. President. So I, at that time, Clone Wars had just ended, and they had just announced the Lost Missions were coming to Netflix. And we were lucky enough, through Saber Guild, our fan club, to be able to go up to Lucasfilm for a screening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real, like, you know, what I thought then to be like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Oh, my gosh, like, this is so cool. And it still is, but I just thought it was never going to happen again.
What did you do last week?
So we went up. Yeah, I went up to Lucasfilm. It was bomb.
Yeah,
it was just as cool.
Once in a lifetime.
It's great. It's so cool. So I went up there and we dressed as our characters. Like, we went up there. I was Quinlan Vos. My wife was Ayla Secura. And it was like really, really cool. And we were talking to people there. And at the time, those like Meet Kanan, Meet Hera, Meet Sabine, like those little videos had just dropped and Rebels had been announced. And we were starting to like see the little characters and they were sort of going through them. And it was really cool because even from those little tidbits, you were getting a lot of like what the character in the show was going to be about. They were like, hey, this one's like the leader. He's like, he's not really a Jedi anymore. He kind of just slings a gun and he's trying to help people. But, you know, he kind of put down the lightsaber a long time ago, but now he's got to pick it up again. Hey, this is just a kid that lives on the street, blah, 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 blah. And at the time, Liz was real like, oh, my God, like she had the Sabine haircut and everything. So she was like, "That's I could totally do that." And I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah, go for it. And then they released Ezra's and it looked just like Axel. And I was like, oh, my God, like that's really, really cool. And then she's like, you could do Kanan. And I was like, nah. And then she's like, and then Lizzie can do Hera, I guess, you know, because there's another girl. And me and Lizzie were like, eh. But she was telling everybody over there and they were like, wow, that's like really cool. And then they were showing pictures around. And they were like, oh, my God, he does look like Ezra. And then they were like, if you, yeah, you guys should totally do that. And then I was like, all right, I guess we'll do that. So we did it. And it was really, really cool. But, you know, 4 years down the line, I remember one of the first panels we went to, dude, was like, we came out and Filoni's like, I hope you guys like the show. You know, because like the show hadn't even come out yet. We were going to like the first panel of the show. And he's like, this is really cool. You know, I hope you guys are cool. You know, hope everything works out. You know, 4 years down the line, and it's like my daughter now has a Star Wars podcast. My daughter completely identifies. Obviously, we switch characters along the line as we watch the show, and we're like, hey, this is more our family dynamic. You know, like it's become a real big part of our family and life and everything. And I now really like Kanan. Like, I think he's a really cool character. My daughter really identifies with Sabine. And you know, we all like really keep this show close to our heart. You know what I mean? So it's really, really interesting how things can go from like a, yeah, sure, I'll put on some boots and swing around a lightsaber for a while to, you know, what it is now.
How big a decision was it in the Perales family when the Sabine and Hera roles changed? Like, was that a big family meeting? How was this decided?
It was like two things. One, Lizzie was pretty young and she hated doing the makeup anyway. And then two, like, as the show started airing, we started watching it. We were like, dude, like, this doesn't work at all. Like, you know, like, it actually started before the show came out because as soon as I read A New Dawn, we were like, oh, no, this is no good.
What have we done?
But then we sort of, yeah, it took, like, a while to, like, get, so, like, pretty much before, like, as soon as we were done with A New Dawn, we were like, yeah, I think this is what it's got to be. But it took so long to, like, switch it out. Like, you know, we have to get, like, obviously, I'm still not very skilled at sewing or building. Like, I can paint a decent piece of armor. But, you know, a lot of these skills, like, there are people that are really good and they whip out costumes in, like, a week and a half. That ain't me, dude. And I'm working on four costumes at a time. So, like, it takes me a while and I don't get sleep and I'm stuck in the garage for, like, a really long time comparing references and trying to sew things and messing up and then, like, ripping out seams and going back to sew them again. And then trying them on people, and then it doesn't fit right, and then I just screwed up, and now I have to go buy more fabric, because I'm just not, you know, I'm a little bit better now, but I'm still not great. It took us a while to get a Hera into, for Liz, you know, because Lizzie was very young back then, so she basically just threw on Liz's outfit, and it was fine. You know, if the outfit was a little bit baggy for her, now it fits her just fine. But it's like, you know, now she's grown up, and she's just Sabine now, but back then she was like littler and we were like, well, let's see if it fits. And it was like, oh, a little bit baggy, you know, just put on your belt to hide that wrinkle or whatever, you know. But Liz couldn't obviously throw on the kids clothes. You know, they didn't work the way, you know what I mean? So yeah, that was basically as soon as we finished the book, we knew we had to change.
I hope Lizzie appreciates that she's in a family where a problem is that she has to grow into a Star Wars costume. That's
she complains
good.
A lot, but like she gets everything, dude. Like every now, like everything that happens, they both go like, oh man, I want, like, as soon as, you know, Force Awakens, they were like, oh, I have to do Rey, you know. And then Liz gets the Rey costume and then Lizzie's like, man. But I'm like, dude, you are enough work with your armor. Like, I repaint Sabine so many times, not every season, But every time something else, like a lot of times, like I have to touch up the armor a lot, but I have to touch up the helmet a lot. And I've repainted, especially back in the beginning, like we only were working off so many references. I was basically pulling apart one video and trying to see all angles of the helmet. Then the show comes out and I see the back of the helmet. I'm like, oh, there's like a whole big, you know, there's feathers on the side of it. And this piece is, you know, orange, and this piece is supposed to be, you know, then I'm repainting whole things that I thought I was done with, you know, so.
Well,
she's got a lot of work put into her own costume.
With the touch-ups of the armor, Lizzie, like, berates, because I'm just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go for season 3 Sabine. I'm like, oh, yeah, what's, is it different? And I get the iron gate just gets slammed in my face. As she mocks me,
I remember
with
that.
Her friends.
Yeah. Oh, she told me to tell you hi and periwinkle, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, well.
But she was very like, Steel doesn't even know that the armors are different. I was like, I don't think Steel watches the show as much as we do, to be honest.
Fake fan. I have watched it. Now, you, as we alluded to before, you went up to Lucasfilm for the premiere. Paint a picture of that, Sal Perales of theroguerebels.com.
All right. This time was a little bit different. Normally what happens is we go up and, like, it's a good 7-hour drive from here. You know, I got kids and we're packing up us, and we're packing up our costumes, and we have just about enough time to get to the premiere, get dressed into our thing, like, go in there, showtime, and then that's it. And usually we, like, come right back the next day. You know what I mean? This time, mm-hmm. I tried to plan a little bit better, and we went up, like we left at, like, 5 in the morning. So that way I could get there, you know, the earlier afternoon, because I talked to a buddy, and I wanted to do the tour. Because every now and then I talk to people, and they're like, hey, if you're ever up and around, you know, get the tour. And I'm always like, great, we're going to a screening on Friday. Can I get a tour Saturday? And they're like, no, you can't. It only happens during the weekdays. Like, so I planned better this time. I went early. I got the tour. So I got to, like, a lot of really cool things. And, like, you know, they have all the props from ILM is there. Like, it was a really cool, really fun experience. Then on top of that, we get the screening, which was awesome because, you know, Rebels in a giant theater with fans. Like, it's like, you know, it's an experience that not, you know, you would normally only get that for the movies. So it's really, really cool to enjoy Rebels in that way.
I saw it at when they showed it at cinema in San Diego, like the premiere, and that was amazing. That was really
yeah,
special.
Yeah, I was there. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the year before I met the squad, and I was standing right next to Randy and Jason for about 2 hours. So
yeah, I think I was.
It was fake.
I had just met Jason at WonderCon for the other Rebels thing.
Ah,
and then,
gotcha.
Like, so when I walked up to the theater, I saw him, like, first in line, and I was like, hey, what's up, dude? And also, oh my gosh, this is the line? And then I was like, well, that sucks. So, like, hey, man, what's going on? I guess I'm going to head back to the back and get in line, you know? And then he was like, oh, wait, are you on the list? And I was like, I mean, they told us we could come, so I think I'm on the list, but, like, what, you know? And he's like, oh, this is, like, the overflow line. If you're on the list, just go inside. I was like, oh, cool, thanks. So I went inside, and if it wasn't for him telling me that, I probably would have been at the end of that stupid line. It wouldn't have been the thing that I was on the list for, because I didn't know how
yeah.
it worked, you know?
Do you know the weird thing is I can remember that conversation. And just, like, going, damn,
yeah,
they're
like,
in. How do you get on? And I was just like, how do you get on the list?
She didn't look and see that we were dressed
list.
As the character.
I don't.
He's like, man, how do you get on the list? Oh, I see.
Now, I did a survey the other day, and I think, like, with Star Wars Rebels, I think the number one question from the time we found out who the characters were, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're far more into it than I am, but the number one question is, what happened to the Jedi at the end of the series? Am I right in that? Do you disagree?
That's the number one question that people who watch it have. Yeah, definitely. Like, or, yeah, definitely. That's a huge, huge thing to think about. You know, when you're thinking about characters' future, you know, that's one of the big ones. You're like, well, they're Jedi. They just like, yeah, let's just get a beach house on Lothal, dude. I'm tired of being a Jedi.
So I read this thing on Nerdist, and Filoni was sort of hinting that sometimes the best answers are vague and stuff, which I thought was, if you're doing interviews promoting the show, like hinting that the answer might be vague at the end is not the best sizzle to get people to watch, because no one goes to someone else, oh my God, I hear the ending's going to be vague and inconclusive. I've got to watch. I've got to tune in. But
right.
How do you, as someone that's so invested in the show and, you know, it's a big part of your family, like how important is it that the Jedi's fates are wrapped up by the end of the series?
I mean, I think it's like, it's something that's definitely divisive, because like some people just, they don't dig that. And some people like take a, you know, if you want to go with like, what did you call it? Murky at best, you know, something that can be very interpretive. Take the season two finale. You know, some people hate that thing's guts, and other people think that it's some of the best Star Wars ever produced. You know what I mean? So it's just like, what do you get from it, and what are you taking from it? Like what in the story makes sense to you? Like for me, Jedi things don't have answers. Like Galactic Civil Wars have an answer. Like a Death Star gets blown up at the end. There's no questions. But like once you get into Jedi stuff and Force stuff, like half the thing Yoda says in The Empire Strikes Back can be taken a million different ways. Same thing with Obi-Wan. Like Jedi don't give straight answers. And so like, with their fate or whatever happens, like let's just say it's something to the effect of that the season two finale. I think that's going to be the same reaction. A lot of people will be like, oh my gosh, this was the best ever. And then a lot of people will be like, it sucks. Like they can't even kill people or whatever, you know, like all of the reactions that episode. So
granted, but what do you want, Sal?
I want a good story, whatever gets me there. Like if people have to die, then they die. And if people live, then they live. If the story is good and the story keeps me involved, like I'm very invested in the characters. I like Kanan. I like Ezra. I like Hera and Sabine. You know, like I'm already invested in the characters. Like they've done a lot of work on that. And the characters are very, very interesting. If you get me on characters, like whatever happens in the story, as long as it's a good story, I'm in, you know?
Okay. Like,
so far, I'm in. And if at the end they die, it's a really dope story and it makes everybody cry, I'm all for it. If at the end it's murky or they go off in another direction or they go to Lirasan and hang with Zeb's people, if they make that a good story, I'm all for it, you know? Where I'm at, like, trying to predict it, I can't think of a way to make the story work and them live. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know what the answer is.
Sal, yeah. I'm with you, dude. Like, I want them to die because my imagination can't come up with anything that satisfies me. So if someone's got, and they do, there are people with professional imagination. And if they can use their professional imagination to come up with something that keeps them alive and satisfies me, I'm interested. But because I don't have that good an imagination, I can't fathom it happening.
Yeah, like I'm with you, dude. I can't tell you a way to make, like for instance, like the really big questions are Kanan and Ezra. Like we know Hera and Chopper live and I guess nobody really cares about Deb, and you know everybody assumes Sabine can just walk away, but everybody assumes that the Jedi can't because they're Jedi. So, like, I can't think of a way either.
Yeah, but the reason people care about the Jedi so much is because the math of the Star Wars story is that there's just the Jedi that we had from, you know, there's Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, and Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker is the only hope. You know, it's called, you know, A New Hope, and, you know, one had presumed it was, you know, the one and only hope at the same time. But so I think that's why it's such a crucial thing, just because, like, no one, like, Ben Kenobi didn't tell Luke Skywalker that there was no Zebs. What are those? What's a Zeb called?
But at the same time, dude, like, in universe, like, even if they are alive, let's just say they live. Even if they are alive, that doesn't make them the new hope. Like, it's still Luke and Leia. Like, in my interpretation, even if they live, they'll never be the new hope. That's not their destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as I see, you know, and I haven't seen anything in the show to make me think that they're going in the direction of making him the next hope, or Kanan the next hope, or, you know what I mean? Like, they're still outside of this. Like, they're part of the rebellion, but they're outside of the, like, the New Hope plan.
Yeah.
The Bail, Obi-Wan, Yoda, like, little hands in the middle of a circle. They're not in that. Bail knows they're around, and he's not like, hey, we should call Kanan and Ezra to help your daughter get these plans. No, he calls Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Like, they might not be around. But yeah,
I just had the worst train of thought, Sal. People like try to troll me online and stuff with things that bug me about Star Wars, right? Like, you know, the Ewoks blinking, for instance.
Okay.
But no one control yourself like yourself. And
okay.
I was just thinking in my head, because I was running conversations about Rebels and stuff in my head as you're talking. And, you know, one of the things is, well, wouldn't someone have said something to Luke in the rebellion about these two other Jedi? Right. You must have heard people say that. And then I started imagining that at Comic-Con or something, they announce a comic where in it someone explains Ezra and Kanan to Luke Skywalker, and I began just sweating, just like, yeah, I'm happy with that not actually happening, and I'm not sure why. I definitely think I'm a Star Wars canon snob as far as characters interacting.
Right. I like when things, like, I know a lot of people are like, whoa, why is he going to Tatooine? Like, the universe is too small. Like, no, dude, like, these people all kind of know each other. Like, it makes sense that things pop up in another thing. Like, I want the world to be connected. All my life, I've wanted stuff in the books to be in the movies and stuff in the comic books to be in the books. And now that that's finally happening, people are really like, oh, like, they shouldn't touch. And I think what most of it is obviously there's a large group of people that don't like the Rebels characters, I think is what it is. Like, a lot of people seem to have a problem with Ezra. So I think they don't like just that character interacting with characters that are so beloved to them. So I think it doesn't even have to do with Ezra's story. I think it just has to do with these people are like, oh man, now this guy that I really like talked to this fucking guy that I wish didn't exist. Like, that sucks.
Yeah. I fall into a bit of that, I think. And
another thing interesting,
mm-hmm,
that Filoni said that might interest you or maybe help your mind a little bit. He's talking about, you know, like, even remember when the Jedi were, like, in the prequels, even that the Jedi were at their strongest, there was still only, like, 10,000 Jedi across the galaxy, right? And there was, mm-hmm, a real, like, oh, nobody could kill a Jedi, and there's only, like, there's even people on Tatooine and all these places have never seen a Jedi or really know about the Jedi. Oh, yeah, I think they fought with lightsabers. So Filoni was saying that even now with, like, the history suppression and Palpatine destroying the Jedi and them being gone for, like, basically 20 years, a lot of people don't really know what Jedi are. Now, obviously, there are some, like, Bail knows what a Jedi, like, people that met them, Bail, Saw, Rex, like, they know what Jedi are. But, like, the people that Luke was working with in, think about Luke walking around Tatooine with a lightsaber on his belt. And, you know, the whole time of Empire Strikes Back, he's got a lightsaber. Like, nobody's like, oh my gosh, is that a lightsaber? Are you a Jedi? Like, because nobody really knows what it is. It's just, okay, he's got another thing. He's got another kind of tool on his belt. You know, so a lot of people, unless they were like fighting and saw the things that Ezra and Kanan did, or Luke for that matter, like they don't know what that means. It's not like everybody's like, oh, you must be a Jedi like those other two dudes. Like I said, maybe Saw Gerrera, or maybe somebody who just happened to be in a battle with both of them, like somebody who saw Kanan cut down an AT-AT might be like, hey, this guy cut down an AT-AT too, but he threw a bomb inside. You know, you threw a bomb inside. You guys are both pretty cool.
And then they can debate if it's actually called an AT-AT.
Yeah. Maybe you should talk to each other. You guys seem to
Now, answer me this one, Sal. You know what's going on. Is Ezra ever going to talk about meeting Obi-Wan Kenobi to anyone or what?
I don't think so, man. I think that was a big part of his, like, you know, his moving along and accepting responsibility. Like,
but he met
and
Obi-Wan Kenobi. You got to tell someone, don't you? Don't you have to tell your Jedi Master that you met one of the greatest Jedis of all time?
I don't think so. Even when your Jedi Master has that dude's like holocron, you could be like, dude, I could have took it. I could have got a sign for you. Like me, I think Chopper would tell everybody. I don't think Ezra would say shit. I think Chopper would be like, then this old dude helped us. Then he fought and killed Darth Maul with a blue lightsaber. He looked just like an older version of the dude in your holocron. Like, I think Chopper is like the issue here. Not necessarily Ezra. I think Ezra would keep that secret, and it was a personal journey, like, for him. He even tried to not take anybody with him. Just, you know.
We won't go into how Chopper got into that A-Wing. That was very creepy. I think he teleported into that bad boy.
You know, they got two-seater A-Wings now, right?
Sorry?
I said, you know, they got two-seater A-Wings.
You watch the episode. There's no way Chopper could have gotten in the A-Wing. I've broken this one down, Sal. That's like the way out of that one is it's a cartoon. That's that one. I've come to terms with this. So I did this survey on Twitter. I'm getting into these Twitter surveys, Sal. They're very interesting. And I want to know what you would answer, right? So the question is, I think by the end of Star Wars Rebels, Ezra and Kanan should, right? So you say what you should happen, what you think should happen, and then what you think will happen. So you could say, you think they should die and they will die. They should die, but I think they'll actually live. You think they should live and they will live, or you think they should live but they'll die. You don't get to express your feelings. You just get to pick one of them without comment.
No, dude, why is there no comment? That's whack. First of all, I think there's a different answer for each of them, just in my own personal, like, what I think is going
to
happen.
Oh, Sal, you're killing me. You either have to think they're going to die or live and then think whether that's going to happen or not. That's it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But there's two of them. What if I think one of them is going to die and one of them is going to live?
Dude, when are you getting into politics? The way you talk around this stuff is amazing.
I think Kanan, I think they both, like, if you're going to, like, really adhere to letters of the law and things like that, I think they both should die. Because then you have the people that are like, oh, like, were they just off screen? Argument that keeps coming up. I don't think that's a good argument for why they should die, but I just think, like,
there's no need to do a negative voice for a person.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What a differing opinion, Sal.
So let's say they should die for the sake of this argument. But I think one might live. Like, I think Kanan will die. So the answer for Kanan is should die, will die. And the answer for Ezra is probably should die and will live.
Ooh.
But I can't think of a way to make that happen. That makes a really cool story. You know, unless he's like, I'm Lothal's personal Jedi secret protector. Nobody will ever talk about me. And I will just hang out on Lothal, just Jedi everybody that comes here.
Now, but I want to ask you a vague question. Have you read the book Thrawn?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a, I'm just going to ask this as vague as possible. So people, they'll either know what I'm talking about or they've got no idea if they haven't read the book. There is a character that I didn't realize was from Rebels until like a fair way into the book. Did you know
like a
they
main
were? Oh, you know, they're in Rebels. Did you know that they were in Rebels the whole time?
As soon as they said the name, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, really? See, I guess because I didn't know the names as well. It was like, you know, two-thirds of the way through, I was like, oh! And I was pleasantly surprised. Very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, that Thrawn book has gotten me very excited to see those characters again in Rebels. So that's some good cross-media synergy at work. Now, Solo, Sal, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What do you think about this title?
I think I heard the title and I was about to be like, called it. And I went on Twitter and you said, everybody stop saying you called it because we all called it. And I was like, no.
Yes, the system works.
I wanted to be to go back to episode like 150 of Now This Is Podcasting. I totally called it. It's not very difficult to call.
I tweeted this out the other day. How I found out that it was called Solo was a direct message from a listener saying they're actually calling it Solo. And I was just like, woke up and read that and was just like,
wow,
that's funny. That is funny. But hey, we're going to go to some calls and see what you guys want to talk about. The first 50 minutes or so will be on demand for everyone. But if you are listening live or you are a Steel Wars Patreon member, you'll get the full 90-minute experience. So, yeah, if you're listening live, you'll be fine. And on Steel Wars this week, on the Patreon feed, we've got two new Q&As up that add to about an hour in length, questions from the Patreon community, and also a new Making Steel Wars with Jason Ward and me talking about the Solo name, Rebels, and trying to put together the order of the Last Jedi trailer clips, what goes on where, and a slightly less upbeat discussion about Star Wars Rebels than what Sal is providing me with here. And I'm sure Sal is not shocked by this revelation.
Oh, yeah, no surprise. Wait till tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait for tonight, actually. And our Steel Wars episode this week is live from LA Podfest, which is a really cool event that features the Dollop and Marc Maron and My Favorite Murderer. And we did a live episode there with Gareth Reynolds from the Dollop, Jenny Jaffe, and Jason Ward. And it is really, really funny. So check that out. I am going to go. We normally hit the patrons, but there's a number here I don't know, and they've been on hold the longest, and they might be calling from Australia. 407, who are you and where you're calling from?
Hello?
Jacob, is that you, buddy?
Yes, it is.
It is Sydney's finest Star Wars fan, Jacob. What's on your mind on this Saturday afternoon in Sydney, Australia?
Well, I've been meaning to call in about the new Last Jedi trailer.
Oh, we have actually missed your calls. I think I had a go at your dad this week asking where you're at. So what are your thoughts on the trailer, man?
Well, it was really cool. There was a lot of instant connections, you know, when Kylo Ren bashes the lightsaber against the wall, you know, that's how it breaks and all that. It was really cool.
Right.
Yeah,
that was, it's weird that in between the teaser posed the question of like, how did the helmet get smashed? And then the trailer answers it. That's
yeah.
It's a nice little puzzle filler.
It's giving you a little bit of Star Wars mystery without a movie.
Yeah, yeah. What did you make of the last, like, sort of scene, whether, you know, that's what happens or not, where it appears that Rey is asking Kylo for help and he puts out his hand? What did you make of that?
Well, I thought it was really cool, but then a lot of people started saying, you know, it's not the same scene, which is believable. I mean, it is, there is supposed to be a lot of misdirection. But, I mean, I looked closely into the reflection of Kylo's eyes. It does look like a ship or something. I'm not 100% sure.
Wow, you were going deep to check out eyeball reflections. You were,
Yeah.
You're getting old Jason Ward on us here. What was your favorite shot in the trailer, mate?
Probably when Kylo Ren was doing barrel rolls in his new TIE fighter. That looked really cool.
Nice.
Flying like old granddad, silencer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just some loose space battle, just letting the special effects do what they need to do. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, but it would also be nice to see that Kylo Ren isn't an expert pilot, because, you know, Anakin and Luke and Anakin as Darth Vader was. But if Kylo Ren wasn't that good of a pilot, but he just knew how to fly, that would be pretty interesting.
Pretty cool. But it's also like you not be an awesome pilot when your granddad was Anakin and your pops is Han.
Yeah, you'd be bombs. No wonder he's so grumpy all the time.
Yeah.
Are you checking out Star Wars Rebels, Jacob?
Well, I was, but since I can't like watch TV at the right times for the new releases, I haven't really been keeping up to date with everything, but I have seen videos on YouTube of all the good parts of it. I've seen the trailers for season 4 and 3. Yeah.
And what do you think about the big question in Star Wars Rebels? Do you think the Kanan and Ezra are going to survive, or do you think their time is up? What are you making of all this?
I don't know. Ezra seems pretty powerful, and he might survive, but I think Kanan will probably die.
Ooh, you're in the cell camp.
Yeah, yeah, something, I mean, like a sacrifice sort of thing.
Anything else? Anything else you want to talk about, my man?
Yeah, in the Last Jedi trailer, the book from the teaser and the trailer that looked a bit burnt on the bottom, I think, you know how in the trailer Luke's hand burst up from the wood? Mm-hmm. I think he went to retrieve that book of the Jedi with the Jedi symbol on it.
What do you reckon's in the book, Jacob?
Probably some Jedi teachings, maybe some untold history of the Jedi, something that no one else really knows.
Hmm. I want to know what's in that book. Desperately.
Yeah. You guys, a lot of the stuff that's come out, like concerning Luke, basically, you know, like any of the comics or anything like that, you know, like in between, like right now, a lot of the comics are in between New Hope and Empire. But like with Shattered Empire and a few other stories, like you get little tidbits of what Luke is kind of looking for. Have you been reading any of the comics or anything like that?
I haven't been reading the comics. I've just been watching videos on YouTube of people explaining a few of the comics, but I haven't really been reading them though.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, just curious, because a lot of the stuff is like Luke seems to be seeking Jedi knowledge. Like with Obi-Wan gone, that's basically his whole MO, you know what I mean? Like he's like doing rebel stuff also, but he's also like, hey, there's a Jedi temple here on, I can't remember the planet that Vader Down takes place on, but he was like, he was there looking for Jedi things. And then, you know, in Shattered Empire, he goes and he grabs a tree piece. And, you know, so there's a whole lot of him searching for more lore, for more knowledge, for more learning besides just having Obi-Wan's journal, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I'm wondering, you know, maybe so that, to me, that means that book, the thing that he picked up along the way,
or is that book something that he found at the first Jedi Temple?
Well, it could be something that was there. He's not really, like, supposed to go in there. He doesn't really want to look at it, but since it's burnt down, he's making a last effort to retrieve it, or he has read it and just doesn't want to let it go to waste because it's
right.
So sacred.
Before he got to Achto.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Something, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob. It is so good to hear from you, my man, and really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
See you, mate.
Come on, buddy. Take it easy.
All righty. Let's go to Patreon Content Club member Kyle Delaney. Where are you calling from, Kyle?
Hey, guys. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Nice. I'm actually going
How's
to Vancouver
going?
Next week, so just to work out some passporty stuff. So
in all the time zones, buddy.
I'm feeling Canadian. I'm feeling Canadian.
Nice.
What's on your mind tonight, Kyle?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, that I'm like a huge fan of you guys. I mean, you guys make my drive to work, my day at work, my walk in the dog, all that stuff so much more enjoyable when I download all the stuff you guys do, and I really appreciate all the time and effort you guys put into the content that you provide us.
Cheers, man. Thanks so much.
Sweet, dude.
And no problem. So being a Patreon for this is nothing, man, because you guys give us so much. So, again, thanks.
Sometimes Sal's microphone goes a little bit Kanye West with the
gets, okay, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that
happened to me?
Yeah, you really you've got the tunes on or whatever that is it called? Auto tune? Whatever? God, I just got old all of a sudden. Kyle, save me. What's on your mind, buddy?
Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to talk about I guess the trailer and probably all the dialogue that happened in the trailer. I really feel that it was directed at Rey. Almost everything that was spoken of by Snoke or by Luke, I still think it's Rey. I think it's almost a little bit of that Firestarter type theory, or I don't know if you've watched Rian Johnson's Looper, but that movie was basically about a kid that was way too powerful and, you know, was almost dangerously powerful. And I have a feeling that's going to be her backstory.
Yeah. I haven't seen Looper. So I'm always like, I'm really, really bad at Star Wars, like homework, you know, when they're like, Rian Johnson is writing and Gary Whitta wrote or whatever it is. And they're like, he did this movie and this movie and this movie. And Gareth Edwards did this movie. And I'm like, well, I should go watch those things. So I know what I'm in for. And I never do. So I haven't seen Looper, but I'm with you in the, like, I think everybody's talking to Rey camp.
I actually just recently watched Looper. I really enjoy it. But I post up this theory today, Kyle, about that line that Snoke says, when I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special. Well, I think when you see the film, it's going to be Snoke saying that in front of a mirror to himself with his robe half open.
Well, see, I just don't think he could be talking about Kylo, because he wouldn't say he found Kylo. He would be, when I met Kylo.
I don't know, dude. I think he could still, like, I think, especially with, I mean, obviously they're not Jedi, but with the Force things, you know, maybe the Force drew him to where he met Kylo, or, you know, like, the wording they use, it's always very, very wise sounding. And you don't just say, hey, dude, I met Yoda. Like, oh, I found the Jedi Master, or
yeah,
this one a long time ago. I think you can get away with it being Kylo.
Yeah, I sort of took it that if it was Kylo, it would be sort of like, you know, like a manager that finds a musician or an actor or something and is like, you know, when I found you, because it's him that, like, put that person in that position. So he...
Right, it's like him training and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but also him sort of prickishly asserting himself that without, you know, Snoke or the manager...
Yeah.
The artist or the Dark Jedi, whatever the case, you know, would be nothing without them finding, like, it wasn't that they had talent, it was that this person found them, sort of thing. So I don't think him saying that, like, that by itself rules out that it's going to be Kylo. But I think if Snoke is talking to Rey, that's fascinating, because to me, I take it that they've met before.
For
do you
sure.
think he can... Yes, it'd be hard for him to say, when I found you, like, if they're just meeting for the first time now, because she's, you know, she's pretty established, isn't she?
Right.
She's got a name for herself.
Yeah, that would be really cool if she went into the backstory somehow like that. But I also think they could still, like, the whole first movie was like, there's been an awakening, have you felt it? So that to me says, like, what the hell was Snoke doing that whole time? You know what I mean? Like, was he, maybe he was looking for her. Maybe he did find her, she came to Dracula base, but maybe, you know, like in the book, they had that whole semi interaction. Maybe that was when he found her, or maybe the awakening when he started looking for her, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's other answers that may not mean he dumped her on Jakku or further backstory might entail.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. So he could have found her when he just felt the awakening. That was him like, you know, putting his force, you know, putting his vibe out into the universe, and he found her that way, and he felt the awakening. So yeah, that would from a certain point of view, you guys, you know, it can go either way.
With words like that. Yeah.
It's never simple with Star Wars.
Awesome.
And cool. Did you check out the Star Wars Rebels opening, Kyle?
I did check it out. You know, I'm glad Sal's here, because Sal always, you know, levels things off, right? He always brings a level head to the discussion. And again, I like the Rebels. I just don't understand how they could write Ezra so bad. Like, why is the writing got to be so over the top bad for Ezra when they could have made him such a cool character?
I think he's come a long way, but I also think, like, he's having fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for me, when we were there watching him flip around in a jetpack, I was laughing. My kids were laughing. Like, that was pretty cool. But I think also that he was able to, like, come and help her talk about, like, the Darksaber and the history and all that. Like, you know, do their side of the mission. That was, like, pretty cool, too. And, like, meeting the father, like, Ezra kind of had a, obviously the story was very, very, very Sabine centric, but he was a good kind of like level side character. Like, this wasn't the show about Ezra, you know, like this wasn't where Ezra grew or did anything great. This was Sabine's little arc, I guess you could call it, if we're going back to the Clone Wars terminology.
I could just deal without the comedy parts. Like, I don't want Jar Jar reincarnated in.
Yeah. I mean,
Rebels.
I guess that's, didn't like Jar Jar, so I guess, you know, some people just don't.
How cool would Jar Jar have been if they played him as a straight, real character, almost like a Chewbacca style? Would have been a different movie.
Chewbacca? Why do I want another Chewbacca? Like, I was never a huge, huge Jar Jar fan at all, but I really dug that last Clone Wars arc with Jar Jar and Mace Windu. I thought that was fantastic and a huge episode for Jar Jar, because every time Jar Jar shows up, he basically, like, fumbles his way to victory. Like, he keeps falling over until everybody's dead, and then he wins. So it's, like, it's weird and funny, and, you know, he's making faces the whole time. But, like, the Mace Windu episode where he, like, actually, like, he's talking to people, he's trying to, like, figure things out, and, you know, he's helping Mace Windu in a weird way, even though he's still falling over things and winning. I thought that was a really, really cool episode that brought it all home. And then Mace Windu has the line where he's like, I think I'm finally beginning to understand you, Jar Jar. Like, so I thought that was a really cool Jar Jar moment. Well, that was like my Jar Jar moment, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's his finest hour or half hour or 23 minutes. But that's like, I think the Phantom Menace would have been a far more across the board, more, you know, less criticized film if that Jar Jar was in the Phantom Menace. It was just a bit tapered back and a lot.
I definitely agree it would have been less criticized, but I think, like, the whole idea of this, like, guy that doesn't fit in, that ends up being the bridge to help unite his people with the, you know, help unite his planet, I guess, is really, really important and touching. And I thought that was like really, really good. And I don't think scaling Jar Jar back to like less annoying would help sell that. Because like the idea there is like everybody has a use, even though you don't see it. You know what I mean? Like the guy that you make, he's actually not a bad guy. You just don't like him because he's annoying. You know, like, and that's kind of good, I guess.
I disagree on that, but you know, we can agree to agree that I'm a little bit righter than you. Anyway, I think, Sal, when you're saying that, you know, people don't like, because Ezra like sort of Jar Jar'd out because people don't like Jar Jar. So of course you're not going to like it when he's like Jar Jar. But I think for me, like the position of Jedi or Padawan, whatever, it's you hold it up in such high regard that hijinks, like, it conflicts with how, I don't know, like refined like a Jedi like would be. Yeah.
I think like Ezra's not a normal Jedi. Like if this was happening back in, you know, the Jedi's heyday, probably wouldn't be happening. He'd be trained from, you know, like they wouldn't be him messing up. He would know how to use a jetpack, or he would, you know, but this is, you know, he's not a Jedi that we know. He's like a street rat that had some powers and now he's getting a little bit of training and now he's joining the fight and everything's like moving at this real breakneck speed. And so he's got some skills and he has some powers and he can do some cool things, but also he can screw up. And I think it's not that he's like Jar Jar. It's that he has those same, like, it's that the story, it's that he has those same, sometimes he does the same, like this episode, slapstick comedy. People don't like that in Star Wars. So like, right, that's where people are like, oh, that's like Jar Jar. You know, Jar Jar never had a jetpack and was slipping around, but you know, Jar Jar was falling around, and it's the same kind of physical slapstick comedy.
It's not the jetpack; it's the slapstick that, you know, that people are finding the thing of. And I get, that's what I mean. Like Jedi Knight and slapstick comedy. Like to me, like I don't want them that close to each other, if you know what I mean. But Kyle, before you go, Ezra and Kanan, if you were voting in my very scientific quiz, do you think they should die, and what do you think will happen?
I think they should die, but I think they will be very vague and they will just go away. Unfortunately.
All right. If it wasn't a question mark, if it was like each other, what do you think it's going to be?
I think, you know, actually, probably one of them will die, and then the other one will probably, maybe Ezra will go back to Lethal, or he'll end up joining Saw's crew, or he'll just give up the Jedi Order, or vice versa. Ezra dies, although I don't think they'll kill off a kid, technically a kid, on the Disney show, and then Kanan will die.
That's what I thought. Well, I don't know about the
not looking good for Kanan, if our listenership is anything. But Kyle, thanks so much for calling, man, and thanks for your kind words and your support. They mean the world to us. So have a great weekend, my man.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Take it easy.
Cheers.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, we are going to head to the bonus section for live listeners and those on Patreon, and we've got some regular callers up to bat. I see King Tom. I see the infamous Robbo ready to go. So we'll be tackling, and I don't know, Robbo versus Sal. If Robbo's got a Star Wars Rebels critique, things could be lit. I'm very concerned. We're all worried about Ward versus Perellis tonight, but Robbo versus Perellis today could be the hot ticket.
Robbo's going to be ready, because tonight it's not going to be Ward versus Perellis. It's going to be Ward plus Steel plus Randy versus Perellis.
Oh, buddy, I've got your back, sort of.
He cackles badly.
when we go to the bonus section, this is what I want to ask you about and have a discussion about is if, like you say that it's going to, I think if people say if the ending's going to be vague, like they kind of live. Doesn't that mean they live? We'll save it for the bonus section. But Sal, let the good people know where they can find you on the internet.
I am Sal. I make music on Twitter and Instagram. A lot of pictures of my family's costumes and us doing Star Wars things. And then I also podcast every week pretty much with Now This Is Podcasting over at the MakingStarWars.net, MSW Podcast Network. And I also have a little website called theroguerebels.com. And I put things about like how we build costumes, little things that we get to go to, events for the costuming group, the fan club that I'm in. So I'm all over the place, man.
Nice. And you can also find there a link to your daughter's podcast, The Star Wars Geek Girl, which I've appeared on and you're regularly sticking your head in on. So check that out. If you want to hear the bonus section, we've got all these calls to go, a bit more conversation. Plus, we had three other Patreon bonus shows just this week. It's just $3 and you get a direct feed to your podcast app that you're using now. And all the hundreds of back episodes are at your fingertips. And treat your fingertips, I guess. Give them the access. Stop gatekeeping your fingertips away from my sweet, sweet content. $3.
There you go.
Thanks so much, Sal. Let's hit that bonus show. And hey, that's awesome. So, Sal, this is the question I posed. If it's a vague ending, like Ahsoka, she had a vague ending. To me, that means she lives in some form. She's coming back. Because why else would you make it vague?
Okay.
What's your reaction to that?
Like my reaction to if Rebels ends that way for these two characters?
No, I mean my reading of if it's vague, they live.
Okay. I mean...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.